40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up!
English football has been hit by a big corruption scandal. Eight current and former Premier League managers are accused of taking bribes for player transfers. The British newspaper, The Daily Telegraph, says its undercover reporters have discovered widespread evidence of corruption in the English game by filming soccer agents boasting about how many managers they've paid off. The newspaper says it will hand over its findings to police and the English Football Association. The revelation comes only hours after Sam Allardyce was fired as England's national team manager after only 67 days in charge. The 61-year-old Allardyce got the boot after the Daily Telegraph showed him negotiating a deal worth more than $520,000 to represent a company seeking advice on the transfer market. Allardyce was met by reporters as he walked out of his home Wednesday morning, and he apologized for his actions.
On reflection, it's a silly thing to do, but just to let everybody know, I sort of helped out what was somebody I'd known for 30 years, and unfortunately it was an error in judgment on my behalf, and I paid the consequences, but you know, entrapment is one on this occasion, and I have to accept that. The agreement was done very amicably with the FA. Apologise to those and all concerned that was in those unfortunate situation I put myself in. So I have a confidentiality agreement, lads, and I took the time to talk to you on this matter. I can't answer any more questions just now. I'm going to go away and reflect on it.
Reflecting on his firing, that's Sam Allardyce, the former manager of England's national football team. Turning to African football, Algeria, Ghana, Ivory Coast, and host Gabon are the top seeds for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, says those four teams will make up pot one in the Nations Cup draw October 19th in Libreville, Gabon. Pot two is made up of Tunisia, Mali, Burkina Faso, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Pot three has Cameroon, Senegal, Morocco, and Egypt. And pot four has Togo, Uganda, Zimbabwe, and Guinea-Bissau. The 16 teams will be divided into four groups of four each, with the group winners and runners-up advancing to the quarterfinals. For our VOA football fans keeping score, the Elephants of Ivory Coast defeated the Black Stars of Ghana 9-8 in a dramatic penalty kick shootout to win the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations final in Bata, Equatorial Guinea. The teams had played to a goalless draw after 120 minutes of football. It was the second Nations Cup title for Ivory Coast. Neighbor Ghana has won African football's premier trophy four times. The Desert Foxes of Algeria have lifted the Nations Cup trophy once in 1990, while the best showing by host Gabon is making it to the quarterfinals in 1996 and 2012. The 2017 Africa Cup of Nations finals will be staged from January 14th to February 5th in four cities in Gabon: Libreville, Franceville, Port Gentil, and Oyem. Elsewhere in African football, a Malawian female referee is blazing new ground After officiating at major tournaments like this year's Olympics in Brazil and the FIFA Women's World Cup, reporter Lamech Messina has her story.
Benedetta Quimbilanzika's passion for refereeing started when she joined the Malawian army as a soldier 16 years ago. As a soldier, she used to attend football matches.
At that time, the only thing I knew about football was the offside thing. So when the assistant referee raises a flag and then there's this referee who puts his arm up, whistle, point the other direction. So I was so much interested with what the referees were doing.
A mother of two who now works as a secretary in the University of Malawi had to attend a refereeing course for beginners where she earned a grade 3 refereeing certificate. She has now been officiating matches for 14 years, and she has risen to the top of her field at both local and international levels. This year, Quimbilanzika became the first Malawian female referee to officiate at the Olympics. Last year, she became the first Malawian to referee at the FIFA Women's World Cup held in Canada. Also, last year, she was voted the best assistant referee for Malawi's top-level Super League. In 2013, Quimbilanzika scooped up the best referee accolade for the Confederation of African Football Elite A referees course for males and females held in Egypt.
Of course, I wanted to get far with Football Association, but to be honest with you, there was not even a single day I imagined myself officiating at the world's biggest football event like the World Cup, the Olympics.
She owes her success to the adherence to the rules of the game.
As a good referee, you don't have to pretend that you haven't seen something when you have clearly seen it, or to make your own rules. Where it requires a yellow card, you have to caution that player. Where it requires a send-off, you have to show that player a red card.
She says being a female football referee in a country where soccer officiating is dominated by men, she endures insult from soccer fans every time she steps on the field of play. She says some people tell her to officiate netball, one of the most popular women's sports in Malawi. She expects this, however, and says, "I do not give it a damn." Madaliso Peel is a sports editor at privately owned Capital Radio. He says he has long following Quimbilanzika's style of officiating.
I can't remember any games that have ended in any kind of controversy, be it violence or that the teams were not happy with some of the decisions she made. So it speaks volume that this lady knows what she does.
Quimbilanzika, who is 35 years old, says it is her wish to maintain her reputation as a good referee until she retires, probably in 5 years' time. Lamech Messina for VOA News, Zomba.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you later Wednesday night at 18:30 GMT UTC with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. The USA's recent Olympic and Paralympic success in Brazil will be celebrated here in Washington on Thursday. President Obama and his wife, First Lady Michelle Obama, will welcome U.S. Olympians and Paralympians to the White House. Taking a look back at the Rio 2016 Olympic medals table, Team USA dominated with 121 medals, 46 gold, 37 silver, and 38 bronze. Britain was a distant second with 67 medals. At the Paralympics for disabled athletes, the United States finished fourth overall, with 115 medals, China was first with 239 medals, followed by Britain with 147, and Ukraine with 117. One of the Olympic champions who will be visiting the White House on Thursday is Helen Maroulis, who I had a chance to chat with recently. Helen made history in Rio, becoming the first American to win a gold medal in women's wrestling, taking top honors in the 53 kilograms division. Since the Olympics, Helen has attended a few sporting events here in the Washington area, including a Washington Nationals Major League Baseball game. In addition, Helen told me she had a chance to eat crabs with baseball great Cal Ripken Jr. and ask him for a few tips.
From the brief couple, you know, minutes I got to pick his brain about it, I'm like, yeah, you can tell he's been so successful for a reason. He just seems so smart. I wanted to keep asking questions and questions. I just asked him a little bit about, like, the balancing, you know, training and competing with media obligations or wanting to be in the public eye and give back and have time for that while at the same time prioritizing training. Because for myself, the deal that I made with myself is that nothing will compare to a gold medal these 4 years, and these 4 years I'm going to give myself to sacrifice everything. So I said no to a lot of camps and clinics, and I felt bad about that a lot of times because I'm like, man, I really want to give back, and I know it'd be great to go to these camps and clinics for girls' programs, but at the same time I just saw if I spread myself too thin, you know, and I don't achieve this goal, it's not going to be worth it. Whereas if I just, you know, go 100 miles an hour and dedicate myself to this goal and then I have a gold medal, then these next 4 years I can give more of myself and a lot more time to reaching out to young kids and young girls and everything. And so obviously I plan to wrestle for the next 4 years, and I do want it to be different than it was the last four. I do want to be available more for those young girls and to inspire them and just to promote wrestling to begin with. So I just asked Cal, I'm like, for someone to have been in the sport for so many years, I'm like, how did you, you know, balance all of that? And it was really interesting to hear his response.
You said you would like to conduct clinics and maybe training classes for girls interested in wrestling. What do you like to do off the mat in addition to eating crabs with Cal Ripken?
Well, that definitely ranks as number one. what do I like to do off? I think my life is kind of in flux right now because I shaped myself to be what I needed to be for these 4 years. And, you know, 4 years ago, what I might have thought was, you know, something fun, extracurricular activity kind of a deal would have been to travel and to go places and to do activities and, you know, to hang out with friends or to shop or whatever. But, you know, slowly each year it was like, okay, this doesn't really benefit my wrestling. And so it was like, well, what will? And I spent so many nights just sitting at Barnes & Noble on the floor reading books. And that to me was relaxing. A, I'm exhausted from workouts. And B, I'm like, well, let me just read about, you know, how to have a more positive mindset or, you know, read this book from this author that I like or from this pastor. His book just came out. Okay, I want to look at that. And so I even took up coloring. You know, I was like, they say it's relaxing. Let's try this. So I still love to read, and I think that's become a habit now, and that's awesome. I love reading. I'm glad that changed. And I do love to travel now, and that's why I do want to do the clinics and everything. And I'm planning to visit my friend in Senegal, who was actually in my weight class, but she's just awesome. And so she just started her own wrestling club in Senegal. And I just spoke to some people from United World Wrestling about possibly going out there to, you know, see that and do a little clinic out there and get to see the village that she's from and her traditional African village wrestling style, which when she explained it to me and showed me videos of, I'm like, oh, gosh, this is about to be brutal. So I think taking a shot without a knee pad on the dirt and seeing how cut up her knees were, I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. So, but I'm really excited to go do stuff like that, so... That's what I like to do for fun.
Olympic champion wrestler Helen Maroulis of the USA. And Helen, before I let you go, you're talking with us now from just outside Washington, D.C. in Rockville, Maryland. How about a shout out for Magruder High School?
Oh my gosh, yes, huge shout out. MHS, Colonels, woohoo! Go Magruder.
Thank you, Helen. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Welcome to my Facebook Live friends. I'm Sonny Young, and we're back here in Studio 22 for another Watch on Wednesdays. For our Voice of America listeners, go to facebook.com/VOA Sonny for a look at yours truly. And VOA social media reporter Andrew Palcheski, who joins me now here in the sparkling and sportylicious Studio 22. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. I don't know if I've ever heard those adjectives to describe Studio 22, but I like that enthusiasm. That's a good thing.
Andrew, what is trending in the sports world?
We've got a series of viral videos today in the sports world, and we'll start out of Yankee Stadium in New York, where I just was yesterday reporting on the debate, and I'm back here. Glad to be back with you in D.C., but Andrew Fox, another Andrew, 29-year-old, proposing to his girlfriend at Yankee Stadium, and they put it up on the Jumbotron. Now, this happens at sporting events from time to time. Somebody is proposing, they put it up, or the kiss cam, those kind of things. So, proposing to his girlfriend, he's a huge Yankees fan, gets down on one knee, opens the box with the ring in it, and the ring falls out of the box.
Oh, no.
And as you or any of our listeners know that have been to a sporting stadium, not the best place to lose something that's, you know, precious and expensive like an engagement ring, because it's kind of dirty and there's a lot of trash and food and all that stuff. So opens the box, the ring falls out. And keep in mind, this is on the Jumbotron, so everybody's looking at this and this is being captured. So they cut away from him. Everybody in the stadium's kind of whispering and shouting. They cut back. Everybody in the section is helping him, getting down on their hands and knees,
wow,
helping him to try to find the ring, looking through. There's one woman looking through a popcorn bucket to see if it fell in there. And keep in mind, this is all, they're still showing all of this on the TV. So all the fans are not just at the stadium are seeing this, but around the country and even around the world that are watching are seeing this on the broadcast. So looking for the ring, finally, his girlfriend, Heather Terwilliger, looks down. And do you know where she found the ring? I'll let you guess where they found the ring. Because I think this is kind of funny.
Maybe on his shoe?
Very close. It was in the cuff of her pant leg.
Okay.
So it fell in the pants. So after all those people looking around and diving around, looking through popcorn buckets and all that kind of stuff, they found it. Cuff in the pant leg. Everybody suddenly jumps up, cheers, gets down on one knee again. He proposes again. And the happy ending, she said yes.
Oh, that's great.
A really nice happy ending for them. That could have been a disaster, but ended up being quite nice. And a lot of people tweeting out saying it's a nightmare scenario, saying it's, you know, horrible that they almost had this engagement ring lost, but it was so great that it was found. And then somebody just tweeted out, they just said, never propose at a stadium. Not a good idea.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Let me ask my videographer, Bill Workinger, to bring that camera around and take a look at one of the photos at my Facebook page. Yours truly with the indomitable, the exciting, the unconquerable Shaka Sali, host of our Straight Talk Africa show. Shaka always looks so great there in Studio 52. And this programming reminder, you can watch Shaka and another edition of Straight Talk Africa on this Wednesday evening coming up at 18:30 GMT UTC. Shaka Sali, check him out on Straight Talk Africa. Andrew Palcheski, what else is trending in the sports world?
So our second viral video today comes from the Late Late Show with James Corden. James Corden is a great comedian, great late night host.
British comedian.
I don't know if our listeners have ever seen him, but he's maybe not the most physically fit person, I would say, to kindly. But he's a great, and he's a very funny guy. But he does these series of videos on his show on the Late Late Show here in the U.S. And this week he decided to take on an athlete in a foot race. The problem is that athlete is the fastest man in the world, Usain Bolt.
There
was a lot of social media chatter, people saying this is a huge mistake. The one line that I kept seeing repeated over and over, people said, "You'll never guess what happens." Oh, wait, yes, you will. And Bill, if you pull around here, Sonny's asked me to pull up the video. We can show.
Yeah, let's check it out. Let's check out the video.
Let's see what happens. And it wasn't just James Corden. It was James Corden and his entire staff. Now, you see Usain Bolt take off there. Somebody actually falls down, and you can see it's absolutely no contest. Usain Bolt doesn't even look like he's trying. And in fact, towards the end here, he jumps up and jumps through the finishing ribbon. James Corden's still running. Bolt finishes the race, and James Corden is still running after him. And so it just, you know, speaks volumes. And this is the best part, too. You see at the end, they give James Corden a UK flag. They give Usain Bolt a Jamaican flag. You see all the staff is doubled over and they're wheezing, and Usain Bolt just walking around pointing his finger up in the air. He's doing great. So it's a fun video, but it just shows, even though it's a silly video, what a great athlete Usain Bolt is and what a big mistake it is to even try to race him unless you're an elite athlete, because you're going to be embarrassed and you're probably going to be wheezing by the end of it, doubled over.
And Usain Bolt, never one to shy away from the cameras, is he?
No, he is not. So I'm sure this opportunity came up. He said, absolutely, I'm going to go for this, and this is going to be fun. And like I said, you saw, you know, our listeners who are watching on Facebook Live, they saw he didn't even, like, really break a sweat. He was just kind of almost jogging, and he still beat them by a good distance. So a fun video, and a warning, don't take on Usain Bolt unless you train really, really, really hard, and even then you probably won't beat him.
What else is trending out there in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, our third viral video is from the car ride service Lyft, and they have a series called Undercover Lyft, where they get celebrities to pose as Lyft drivers in disguise. And take on passengers and see if the passengers can figure it out, and then they do a big reveal. Well, they've done this with Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks. They've done it with Shaquille O'Neal, and they're doing it now with David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox. Big Poppy, as
big
he is
Poppy.
Known.
Big
he's,
Poppy.
He's actually wrapping up his career this week. He's retiring from baseball, one of the most beloved players in baseball. So he goes and picks up passengers in the Boston area, sees if he can try to trick them, and he successfully tricks most of them. They don't recognize it's him. But I love, my favorite part is as he's talking to the passengers, he uses all these baseball puns. He says, "Oh, have you ever been to New York? I go to New York a couple times every year, of course, to play the Yankees, but they don't know that." And then he says, "Are you going to the Red Sox game tonight? Oh, I'll be there too." So he has some fun, and then he does the big reveal, and the fans are, of course, thrilled to see that it's Big Poppy, David Ortiz. A couple of the passengers even said, "Oh, well, he's my favorite player," and they still didn't recognize him. So it's a fun viral video and a fun way to say goodbye to David Ortiz at the end of his baseball career.
Lots of fun with Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and we'll see you again on Thursday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the September 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my VOA producer and videographer, he's got the camera, Bill Workinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for viewing and tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Gabon's Constitutional Court has confirmed that incumbent Ali Bongo has won re-election for president. Gabon held a presidential election in late August, pitting sitting President Ali Bongo against former Minister for Foreign Affairs Jean Ping. The election was tight and both sides claimed victory. But on August 31st, the Electoral Commission announced that President Bongo had won the election with 49.8% of the vote against 48.2%, an advantage of fewer than 6,000 votes. Opposition representatives on the Electoral Commission refused to confirm the results and abstained from the subsequent confirmation vote. Following the announcement, Mr. Ping's camp declared the elections process had been rigged, and thousands of protesters took to the streets in Libreville. Over the next few days, the protests continued, and in the end, at least 5 people died in clashes with security forces. Over 1,000 were arrested. The city suffered some damage and looting, and the National Assembly building was set on fire. Jean Ping eventually filed a legal challenge and demanded a recount based on the results from President Bongo's home province of Otagua, which showed a voter turnout of 99% as opposed to 56% nationwide. Over 95% of votes cast in Otagua were for Mr. Bongo. And thus the issue landed before the Constitutional Court, which had until September 23rd to make a decision. Later that day, the court ruled in favor of incumbent Ali Bongo. Libreville, and indeed Gabon as a whole, was calm in anticipation of the Constitutional Court's decision. And the hope is that the calm continues, said U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs Linda Thomas-Greenfield while attending the U.N. General Assembly in New York.
I'm hopeful that the people of Gabon will see the court's decision as acceptable, as transparent, and that the country will start the process of healing itself and rebuilding.
The United States hopes that Mr. Bongo and Mr. Ping accept the decision of the court and that they embrace a process that will lead to stability in Gabon.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, a conversation with Arthur Opio Oloya about his book, Black Hawks Rising, the story of AMISOM's successful war against Somali insurgency. That's next, right here on Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this, whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
The U.S. presidential election takes place on November 8th, 2016. VOA provides extensive coverage of this important political event. Who are the candidates and what are the issues that will determine who the next president will be? Tune in around the clock for coverage of the U.S. presidential election, right here on VOA.